This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special series called Bone Saws, Bring It Back. The class name for the University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013 is the Bone Saws, and we will have a 10-year class reunion in November 2023. As many people are planning to attend, I'm recording short interviews to help us all catch up. This episode's featured guest is Dr. Michael Ney. He completed his internal medicine residency at the University of Alberta. He went on to complete a gastroenterology fellowship at the University of Calgary, and then an advanced fellowship in hepatology/transplant hepatology at King's College Hospital in London, UK. He lives in Newport News, Virginia, with his wife and daughter, where he practices as a gastroenterologist and hepatologist for Riverside Health System. Welcome to another episode of Bone Saws, Bring It Back. And today we've got Dr. Michael Ney. How's it going, Mike?
It's going great. How are you doing, Chris?
Great. All right. So give us a summary. Where has your career taken you?
So after finishing medical school with you guys at U of A, I did my 3-year internal medicine residency also at U of A. Following that, I moved back home to Calgary for a 2-year gastroenterology fellowship at U of C. I went on staff as a locum for 6 months doing a GI in Calgary, mostly at the Peter Lougheed, but kind of a little bit at some of the other sites prior to moving to London in the United Kingdom for 1 year to do an advanced hepatology and transplant hepatology fellowship at King's College Hospital there. After that year, which was an amazing year, I was back home in Calgary for just a little bit as we got my immigration stuff figured out to move down to the U.S. Currently, I am living in Newport News, Virginia, on the eastern coast of the U.S., about 3 hours south of Washington, D.C., kind of in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Williamsburg area, working as a gastroenterologist and hepatologist at Riverside Health System, which is kind of a nonprofit health system on the Virginia Peninsula over here on the East Coast.
Nice. I mean, you've done your training in Canada, you've done some training overseas, and now you're working in the States. So I think for this next question, from your vantage point, your specialty, what would you say is the state of medicine / healthcare?
Yeah, so that's, I kind of saw these questions in advance and I was still a bit stumped about exactly how to answer that because it's challenging. So I've got some good exposure for 3 completely different health systems. I'd say starting with Canada, I kind of keep in touch with what's going on back home. And I think there's a lot of concerns right now with how the government's kind of treating the medical staff and medical contractors. That's going to always kind of be the case in a public health system, I think. But, you know, I do miss really the aspect of, you know, everyone being cared for. And I think Canada does a good job of that, realizing that there's no perfect system. Looking when I was in the UK, I think there was significant financial constraints in the UK where the system really was not running that great. But the public system, they have kind of like a public-private system there, but I don't think it really runs as well as the system in Canada. And then being in the US, I mean, there's some really good advantages of that and then disadvantages of that. The insurance companies down here, and there's many of them, kind of are king of medicine and how it runs for the most part. And there's some kind of government input into that as well, because there's some public insurance programs run by the government for the military, older people, and people that are financially disadvantaged. So I think all these systems are kind of plugging along and they're making it work. And, you know, it always seems like there's going to be some impending disaster and it just keeps working somehow. So, you know, hopefully we all keep just figuring out and doing our best. And in the end, as doctors and health professionals, we just have to do our best to help patients the best we can within whatever system we're working.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the system will continue regardless of what we're doing.
Yeah, once we're gone, there'll be a new cog in the machine.
So I'm curious because, you know, you've done the extra training. What excites you the most in your area of medicine?
I guess I kind of have 2 areas of medicine that are connected. So I actually practice both as a gastroenterologist and as a hepatologist. A lot of people who go and do advanced hepatology training just kind of only do hepatology. But I always wanted to do both because I really have a passion for both. In gastroenterology, it's kind of always exciting to see the new technology that's coming out with the endoscopes and colonoscopes. And I mean, I just really have a passion for doing high quality endoscopic procedures, and I spend a lot of my time doing procedures. So I'm always kind of enjoying looking at kind of my stats, quote unquote, of how many polyps I'm finding and how good, you know, how I'm doing, and trying to just kind of be better and better and better, and making sure that's nothing missed for my patients. And it's amazing the number of people that, you know, you're saving from a cancer diagnosis. Amazing the number of young people you're doing a procedure for some other reason. And, you know, 25-year-old person, you find this huge honking polyp that would have turned into a cancer but prior to them presenting for, you know, a screening colonoscopy. So it's really, you know, that's something that really, really gives me a lot of enjoyment in my job. And then from the hepatology side of things, you know, I think I do a lot of good in that respect as well. And I'm really excited because it looks like there's probably going to be finally a treatment for what used to be called fatty liver, and now we call more steatotic liver disease, and used to be NASH, now MASH, used to be NAFLD, now MASLD. They've come up with all these new names in June of this year, but there looks like there's probably going to be a treatment basically that's going to be getting released sometime, I don't know, in the next few months to year, that actually is going to make it through the FDA, and I'm very excited about that. So I finally have a treatment for this disease that affects so many people, that we've kind of just been able to say, eat healthy and exercise for so many years.
That's cool breaking news, at least for me as a primary care provider, to be like, oh, something's in the pipeline. Okay, so switching gears here, we went to med school together. And so looking back, what is your favorite memory from medical school?
That was a very hard question to think of, because there's a ton of really, really good memories. I look back extremely fondly on all four of those years. But I think, you know, it was a nice cap on the experience. Jamie and I hosted Med Night, and that was a really fun time. And I always really look back on that as being a sweet experience to kind of like put a cap on medical school. So I'm going to say Med Night, final Med Night.
The last question here is, what would you tell your younger med school version of yourself?
So two things. So I think I already did a pretty good job of this, but have as much fun as humanly possible during this experience. You know, obviously do like all the reading and learn everything, but have as much fun as you possibly can fit in there. And I think the other thing would have been to do my US MLEs, because I mean, the process of moving to the US, which I was never planning to do, much more difficult not having my US MLEs, although, you know, eventually because of having other research activities and things like that, I was able to make it work, but would have been a lot easier if I'd done the US MLEs.
Well, Mike, you definitely have a presence in our class, and just as a person who we know that worked very hard at school, definitely for sure, but also were right in the thick of things when we were having fun. So I'm encouraged, but not surprised by just how you are working towards being excellent and the things that you do. And I'm sure that your colleagues and your patients appreciate your attention to detail. So thank you so much for spending time with us today on this podcast. And hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up with each other down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Chris. It was great to be here.